When the world feels ever more dangerous and uncertain, some are quietly charting a return to the land. Modern homesteading isn't about nostalgia. It's about survival, sustainability, and a rebellion against industrial food systems. Raising cows for meat is at the heart of this movement, a blend of ancient rhythms, modern science, and deeply personal stewardship. It's messy, tough, and emotionally raw. But in every bottle-fed calf, sun-drenched pasture, and hard-won harvest, homesteaders discover profound lessons about resilience and our connection to food. So if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favorite platform and leave us a comment, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. Chapter 1: Roots of the Homesteading Spirit. Dawn in the pasture, a living tapestry. The land wakes slowly, a patchwork of dew-frosted grass and the hush before labor. In a wide pullback, sunlight rolls over fields stitched together by old stone fences and wild grasses, the breathing heart of Evelyn Carter's homestead. Evelyn steps from her porch, her palm lingering on the battered wood, gaze tracing the old oak sentinel by the barn. Each morning is a ritual. "The world changes so fast," she intones softly, voice layered with memory and gratitude. But here, the ground still remembers every footstep. She stands quietly, boots sinking into sodden earth. In her hands, a battered journal. She opens it, revealing generations of spidery script. Her grandmother's notes on rainfall, her father's quick sketches of calving times, her own careful entries. "First heifer born this year, healthy, strong. May the land stay gentle." The journal is her anchor. She scribbles today's weather, a habit and a prayer. A legacy in the land. As Evelyn's day unfolds, she shapes a portrait of inheritance less about legal deeds than about trust between generations. Her story and the story of this land is a story of beginnings, of the Homestead Act of 1862, which called her ancestors westward. Sepia photographs hover, a family line before a sod house, a yoke of oxen straining against raw prairie, a woman with wind-chapped cheeks baking bread on an open fire. Cut to present, Evelyn at the breakfast table with her teenage son, Micah, and her mother Ruth, who now walks with a cane but still rises before dawn. "I was born in that back room during a January blizzard," Ruth laughs, nodding at faded wallpaper. For them, the house is not just shelter, it is memory made solid. Ruth's hands, knotted strong, clasp a coffee mug. She tells Micah how, in the Great Depression, her father traded beef for shoes and potatoes. "We ate from the land, or we didn't eat at all." Micah listens, both awed and skeptical. "But why choose this life now with stores everywhere?" he asks. Evelyn smiles. "Because nothing you buy at a store will ever taste like the beef we raised ourselves, or mean as much," she says. Seeds of independence. From grainy archival footage, the documentary pivots to sweeping drone shots of modern homesteaders. Young couples in pickup trucks, elders hauling buckets, children chasing chickens. An expert voiceover layers in the broader context. Since the 1800s, cattle have been the beating heart of the American homestead, a source of food, wealth, and pride. They bind together the story of resilience and the struggle for self-reliance. Evelyn narrates over these scenes. "Homesteading isn't about retreating from the world. It's about taking responsibility for your own, starting from the grass up." We follow Evelyn as she inspects her pasture, meticulously sectioning off grazing lanes with temporary fencing. She tests the soil, pinching a handful to check its smell, then releases a contented sigh. "The first challenge," she muses, "is healing the land itself." We see her kneeling, planting clover seed with Micah, reciting the names of grasses, as if invoking a spell. "You can't just throw a cow out here and hope for the best. You have to make a promise to the land, and keep it." Gathering the community. The story expands to neighboring homesteads. There's Henry Patterson, Evelyn's closest friend, moving slowly as he tacks a loose plank on her fence. "A pasture ain't worth much if it can't hold water or keep a cow in," he jokes, recalling the escape artist steer of 97. Through an oral history interview, Henry recounts his childhood. "After my daddy died, neighbors showed up from three counties to help us finish the barn. Out here, you learn what real community means." Interspersed scenes show a barn raising, men and women hoisting beams, steaming mugs of coffee passed between hands, laughter ringing out as a stubborn nail bends, and a toolbox slides off a rafter. Children shuttle boards, intent on proving themselves. Evelyn's youngest, little Sarah, is tasked with waving off chickens nosing too close to the lumber pile. At dusk, the crew gathers for a shared meal in the barn's shadow. Dishes range from cornbread to roast beef, each carrying a family's thread of tradition. Henry stands and offers grace. For strength, for seasons, for stubborn hope, may these fields run green. The emotional terrain. Homesteading is more than a physical challenge, it is an emotional journey. Evelyn quietly recounts the year the creek dried up, when she sold half her herd during the drought. Footage shows her kneeling by sun-cracked earth, fighting back tears. "All I ever wanted was to leave this place better than I found it," she whispers. Yet resilience flourishes in adversity. Neighbors organizing hay drives, Ruth organizing canned goods and winter suppers, Micah learning to mend wounds and count blessings. Visually, the camera lingers on small moments. Ruth darning overalls, Micah lifting a calf for the first time, Evelyn pausing in the garden, hands stained by work and hope. There's loss, cattle perished to blizzard, fences toppled by storm. But there's always renewal. "You grieve," Evelyn admits, voice thick, "and you try again next season." Passing the torch. Micah and his friend Riley, both 14, are learning to drive the battered old tractor around the perimeter fence. Evelyn rides along, guiding, teaching, not just about gears and gates, but about patience and the slow way soil heals if tended right. "You're not just running cattle," she tells them. "You're making food. You're making home." On Sunday, the family gathers with neighbors in front of the farmhouse for a storytelling night. Kids share spooky tales of coyotes and haunted barns. Elders pass down stories of homesteader ingenuity, how to judge weather from the wind, how to barter for seed, how to keep hope alive through lean years. One older woman, Mrs. Wilkins, shares her origin wound, the night her family's barn burned when she was 6. She still clenches her fist when she hears thunder, but recounts how the community rebuilt, beam by beam. Evelyn claps her shoulder. "That's the real gift out here. We tie ourselves together with these old stories and new scars. The land remembers." The chapter returns to Evelyn in the quiet hour before twilight, standing at the edge of her pasture, surveying the expanse. Wild turkeys dart through the tall grass. Frogs begin their evening chorus. The farm is far from perfect. Another lean year is always a possibility, and the city calls to Micah more each day. But the ground beneath her feet is rich with memory, responsibility, and deep reward. She kneels and crumbles a handful of soil between her fingers. "Every decision we make out here becomes the future, even the smallest one." She glances at the distant barn, now glowing orange in the last light, and beyond it, the hills her children might one day inherit. Closing montage. Cut to aerials showing changing seasons, spring's emerald, summer's gold, autumn's copper, winter's hoarfrost, each one marked by the rhythm of cattle, growth, and the hands that tend the land. Evelyn's voice, steady and strong. "Homesteading is claiming a place in history and fitting yourself to its demands. It's hard, yes, but it's worth every ache and every hour." Chapter 2, Land, Fences, and First Decisions. Opening scene, the measure of a homesteader. A chorus of meadowlarks rises as Evelyn Carter and her son, Micah, step into the heart of their land. In the delicate morning mist, boundaries are invisible, but soon must be drawn. The field stretches out, rough in places, tangled with last summer's goldenrod, promising more work than comfort. Evelyn points out faint ridges, explaining how water runs after a storm, which spots stay green longest in a drought, and where, just last year, a cow tested the limits of an old fence and won. "The first thing any cattle keeper learns," she says, "is that a fence is less about keeping animals in than about keeping promises with your neighbors, your herd, and yourself." History and choice, claiming the land. Archival maps and photographs flicker over Evelyn's narration. The original surveyors partitioning land, her great-grandfather driving stakes after the Homestead Act. The land's soil varies, loam near the creek, heavy clay along the southern ridge, each requiring unique management. Evelyn's notes, passed down and updated over generations, hold carefully penciled assessments, crop rotations, and flood years. Neighbors gather for coffee, discussing pasture management and sharing advice on noxious weeds, water lines, and the best way to brace a corner post. Henry, the local fence expert, offers sage advice. "No point fencing off more than you can care for. Start smaller than your dreams. Grow with your wisdom. Building the boundaries." A workday commences, Micah swinging a posthole digger, Ruth directing the placement of sturdy, rot-resistant cedar posts, Sarah painting pale blue marks to guide the wire. The air fills with the scent of turned earth and sweat. Fencing choices. Barbed wire, classic and effective, though daunting to string and risky for calves. Woven wire, better for small livestock and predators, more expensive. High tensile electric, modern, efficient, easier to relocate with rotational grazing. Micah requests stories between hammer swings. Evelyn describes her own childhood, repairing fence gaps at dawn, learning patience with each stubborn rock. Mistakes, like last year's steer in the neighbor's cornfield, become family lore. Water, the lifeblood. Between stretches of new fence, Evelyn demonstrates the importance of water. The group cleans out a spring, lays a section of black poly pipe, and repairs an old stock tank. Henry shares his own long-ago mistake of letting a tank run dry, and the lessons in vigilance he learned that season. Key decisions. Placement of water tanks in each paddock. Ensuring natural shade is close by. Monitoring for erosion wherever animals gather. First dilemmas, balancing dreams and realities. As the new fence lines trace the contours of the land, Evelyn reviews her plan, dividing the pasture into four paddocks, allowing for rotational grazing and rest periods. She agonizes over how much to invest this first year, balancing costs of wire and posts against savings on future feed. The documentary offers an honest look, budgeting spreadsheets, lists of farm supply debts, and Ruth's practical reminders of leaner times. At midday, the family and neighbors share a picnic under a stand of cottonwoods. The conversation moves from work to dreams. One neighbor hopes for a dairy cow. Another wants to try beekeeping. Sarah listens wide-eyed, already plotting her future with a flock of chickens. Lessons from the land. After a long day, they walk the new perimeter together, checking every post and latch. Evelyn's pride is quiet but palpable. This isn't just about cows, she reflects. It's about learning respect for land, for limits, and for the people who stand beside you when the wire snaps and the weather turns. Micah, exhausted but grinning, clings to the hope that the fence will hold, this time. As the sun sets, Evelyn runs her fingers along a newly stretched wire, listening for the faintest twang and savoring the sense of accomplishment. Closing scene, the first gate. As dusk falls, Evelyn installs the first gate, a symbol of both boundary and welcome. The family gathers for a snapshot, standing under the sign hand-carved by Ruth. In the distance, the meadow is quiet, yet charged with possibility. The future herd will soon roam here, contained not just by fence and post, but by promise and tradition. Evelyn's last words echo as the chapter closes. We build fences to protect what matters most. But every good fence leaves a place for a gate, so something new can always begin. Chapter 3. The First Cattle, Choice and Arrival. Opening scene, the auction. With fence lines strong and paddocks ready, the journey moves to its next test, selecting the herd. Cameras drift through a county livestock auction, sunlight streaming between the battered grandstand and the staccato of the auctioneer's calls. Evelyn, Micah, and neighbor Henry navigate pens filled with nervous cattle, the air thick with hay and anticipation. Evelyn checks the eyes, coats, and feet of each animal, teaching Micah the subtle cues of health and temperament. Clear eyes, steady movement, soft curiosity. Henry shares stories of auctions past. Once bid on a cow that turned out to be half wild. Spent a month trying to earn her trust. The laughter eases the tension as the bidding begins. Evelyn's notes in her journal. Looking for two bred cows, strong frame, calm, no signs of lameness. Watch for swollen joints, coughs, runny noses. When their turn comes, Evelyn raises her number quietly, hands shaking. Within minutes, they secure two black Angus cows and a red Hereford calf. The teaching begins immediately, how cattle sense nervousness and, at the first opportunity, will test a handler's mettle. The haul home. The drive back is filled with both triumph and anxiety. Interviews with local farmers interlace the journey. Some reminisce about their first herds, others recount costly mistakes, overpaying, letting dreams run ahead of sense. Micah watches the cows in the rearview mirror, excitement flickering with doubt. What if they don't like it here? What if we mess up? Evelyn reassures him, explaining that cattle, like people, need time to settle, and that patience is a homesteader's greatest ally. Arrival, first steps into new fields. The trailer's gate swings open, dust and nervous hooves meet sunlight and fresh grass. The new cows hesitate, then step cautiously into their new pasture. Sarah claps in delight, and the family holds their breath, waiting for signs of distress or curiosity. Evelyn walks the perimeter, speaking softly, letting the cows come at their own pace. Henry gently warns, "Don't chase, let em explore." He shows Micah how to watch for signs of anxiety, pacing, calling, or headbutting a fence. Over hours, the newcomers sniff, graze, test the boundaries. Some memories surface. Evelyn's own first Jersey heifer, lost to pneumonia one hard winter, and the resilience learned in every failure. Settling in, building trust and routine. Ruth, with her decades of wisdom, prepares a bucket of sweet molasses to coax the cows closer. A little treat and a lot of patience, she winks. That night, the family eats dinner on the porch, watching the cattle graze under the long shadows of sunset. There's gratitude, tempered by responsibility, and the first pangs of worry over the coming days. Evelyn journals. Animals quiet. No signs of distress. Both drank at the tank. We'll check temp and behavior at dawn. Neighbors and first challenges. Within days, the cows begin to reveal their personalities. One timid, the other bold and quick to lead. The Hereford calf is skittish, bolting at every sound. Sarah names her Maple, invoking both fragility and sweetness. Neighbor Henry stops by. He demonstrates how to use a sorting stick and quietly coaches Micah on calm movement. Low, slow, and gentle. Never corner, give Em an escape. Mistakes surface quickly. A gate left unsecured, a brief, heart-stopping dash toward the road, averted only by teamwork and a handful of grain. Lessons accumulate. Respect for animal strength and unpredictability. Importance of routine. Water checked twice daily, fence watched for gaps. Emotional ups and downs. Sarah's pride turns quickly to tears after Maple's close call. Reflection, what arrival means. Evelyn's voice closes the chapter. Bringing cattle home is an act of hope and of humility. Every day is a test of patience, of resolve, of our willingness to learn from nature as much as shape it. You don't earn a cow's trust in a day, or a harvest in a season. But tonight, for the first time, this land is no longer just ours. It belongs, in part, to these creatures who will share it, shape it, and challenge us in ways we've only begun to imagine. The camera pulls back, cows grazing, children laughing, and dusk settling softly over a pasture changed forever. Chapter 4, Pasture Management, The Rhythm of Grass. Opening sequence, the foundation of everything. In the early morning, Evelyn surveys her land from atop a gentle rise. She kneels, eyes close to the earth, parting grasses with careful fingers. This pasture isn't just feed. It's the foundation. Healthy grass means healthy cows, and healthy cows mean a future here. One you can taste in every steak, see in every wildflower, and rely on through every harsh season. Cut to flashbacks. Her grandmother spreading seed by hand, Ruth setting out salt blocks at the edge of the old hayfield, Micah running through knee-high rye as a boy, each memory woven into the tapestry of the land. The science and art of rotational grazing. Evelyn explains the basic principle. Rotational grazing is the dance between animal and pasture, a partnership that builds soil, preserves water, and sustains the herd. She walks with Micah, flagging off sections for the next move. Paddock creation. Family shuffles portable fencing, dividing the pasture into four sections. Rotation rhythm. Cows graze in one paddock for several days, then move to the next. The land behind rests and regrows. Grass height monitoring. Using hands and a long stem ruler, Evelyn demonstrates how to decide when to move cattle. Never grazing below 4 inches, never letting grass grow too lush and lose nutrition. Benefits: improved forage, less soil erosion, healthier root systems, carbon capture. Local agronomist Mr. Singh is invited for a walkthrough. He probes the soil, testing for compaction and organic matter. He praises Evelyn's blend of native and introduced species, timothy, orchard grass, red clover, and chicory. More diversity in your pasture means resilience to every cold spring and hot, dry summer, he notes. Seasons of the grass. A vivid montage explores the shifting personality of pasture through the year. Spring, new growth, rapid rotation, high risk of bloat if cattle graze clover-heavy patches too long. Rain means both lush returns and muddy challenges. Summer, growth slows in heat. Evelyn manages grazing times to avoid stress on both grass and cows. Fall, pastures are rested and stockpiled for extended grazing as frost approaches. Planning begins for winter feeding. Winter, reserve paddocks and stored hay, a game of resourcefulness. Old fence lines are checked and repairs logged. Micah and Sarah help spread seed over bare spots in the fall, learning to identify weeds versus beneficial forage. Their jokes and questions bring a hopeful air, tying everyday work to the family's long-term survival. Water and shade, essentials for health. The family rear-outs water lines, ensuring each paddock has a supply. Ruth explains the importance of clean water. A thirsty cow loses appetite and weight faster than you'd believe. Shade trees are pruned for both protection and the slow, natural movement of cattle across terrain. Evelyn marks future plans. Next year, put in a movable shade structure. Comes in handy through heat waves. Wild neighbors and balance. The chapter widens to include wildlife. Deer filtering through the back gates, pollinators working goldenrod, and the occasional hawk soaring overhead. Evelyn points out how their fencing leaves corridors for native creatures, telling Micah, "We're not alone in needing this land." She also faces tough choices, removing invasive thistles, protecting pastures from burrowing pests, and balancing the needs of the herd with the health of the greater ecosystem. The emotional stakes, drought, abundance, and hope. One section shows a previous summer's drought. Grass shrivels, tempers fray, and tough decisions loom, selling off stock, carefully rationing water, late night strategizing with neighbors. Evelyn journals, "This year the land tests us, but every root that survives makes next year possible." When rains finally come, the family stands in misty fields, grateful for renewal. Sarah spins and sings, muddy but delighted. Reflection and wisdom. At sunset, Evelyn, with dirt under her fingernails and a head full of plans, sits beside Micah on the fence. Grass doesn't just feed cattle. It feeds hope. You learn the rhythm of rest and regrowth, and that's what makes everything else possible. Her voice, steady and clear, closes the chapter. Some lessons are slow, measured in seasons, not minutes. But if you listen, the land will always teach you how to begin again. Chapter 5, Nutrition and the Growing Calf. Opening scene, the first spring calves. The chapter opens just before dawn. Evelyn softly coaxes her way into the calving pen, boots crunching on straw. In the hush, a shaky newborn calf nuzzles its dam, seeking warmth and the first taste of nourishing colostrum. Evelyn kneels, her hands gentle but confident, checking for alert eyes, clean breathing, strong suckle. "Every healthy calf is the promise of another year," she says, voice thick with relief and pride. We see a mother cow licking her calf, each stroke both bonding ritual and cleanliness routine. Ruth calls it the original blessing of the land. Micah and Sarah stand nearby, awe and responsibility mirrored in their faces. The architecture of good diet. Throughout early childhood, calves rely on their mother's milk, rich in antibodies and energy. Evelyn demonstrates how to visually inspect for proper feeding. Full bellies, lively movement, and soft, evenly colored manure. Any sign of scours, diarrhea, is a concern. Ruth quickly prepares electrolyte solutions and a warming stall when needed. As the herd moves from pen to green pasture, Evelyn explains the importance of transitioning calves onto grasses and a mix of creep feed, grain blended with minerals and hay. She details, "Colostrum, critical within first 6 hours. Without it, immunity and long-term health are at risk. Creep feeding, gradually introduced to supplement pasture, especially in poor years. Mineral blocks, placed throughout the pasture for both cows and calves." Micah, recording weights and health in a battered ledger, notes improvements with each month, growing confidence lit by each healthy gain. Herd health, observation above all. Cattle don't announce their problems. The family adopts routines, morning checks for swelling, limping, dull coats, or droopy ears. Henry stops by to help with hoof trimming and demonstrates the art of reading herd body language. Prevention over treatment, vaccinations and regular deworming, paired with sharp observation, keep sickness rare. Daily water checks, clean troughs and moving water sources become lifelines, especially as calves begin to gnaw, chew and play. Sarah forms a bond with one sprightly calf, Gingersnap, jotting down every odd behavior, soon dreaming of one day becoming a vet. Facing challenges, illness and setback. No homestead year is without trouble. A sudden bout of coccidiosis runs through the young stock after heavy rain. Evelyn and Micah, sleep-deprived but determined, clean pens, adjust bedding, and implement medicated feed. The camera lingers on their fatigue and tender care, wrapping blankets around chilly calves, eyes red but hopeful. "They're never just animals to us," Ruth quietly reminds Sarah after a tough loss. "They carry our hope, teach us patience, and give us more than we could ever give back. The joy of growth and friendship." By midsummer, the calves romp amid wildflowers and thick grass, butting heads in friendly play. The family holds an impromptu first calf toast. Root beer for the kids, sweet iced tea for the adults, marking not just survival, but the thriving of each new life. Micah runs friendly competitions with neighbors, whose calf is gaining best, whose coat shines brightest. Through these gentle contests, skills deepen and camaraderie grows. Community wisdom. A local vet visits for a field seminar, teaching young homesteaders the value of hands-on care. How to give a subcutaneous shot, spot trouble early, or help a struggling calf nurse from a bottle. Evelyn consults her growing log of health records, sharing stories of past mistakes and hard-won knowledge with younger families starting on their own journey. Closing sequence, trust and the future. As summer closes, the herd grazes under huge oaks, calves growing sturdy, wary, and wise. Evelyn pauses, watching Micah teach Sarah the ropes, her voice reflective. Every year, the land and the animals teach us more about care, patience, and letting go. Raising calves is never about perfection. It's about paying attention, staying gentle, and giving hope the room to grow. The camera lifts to a wide dusk shot. Healthy cattle, playful calves, a family quietly savoring the fruits of care and commitment. Chapter 6, Shelter, Seasons, and Weathering Storms. Opening sequence, the calm before. The day begins bright and crisp, but as Evelyn sketches repairs on her clipboard, a bank of clouds builds over the western hills. Inside the barn, Ruth checks windows for leaks while Sarah gathers loose tools. Micah hauls bales, stacking them neatly beneath the rafters, practiced, rhythmic, but always aware that the weather can turn with little warning. "We say every season tests you," Evelyn narrates. "But a brazen sky and a wailing wind, those are the real teachers." Preparing for the storm. News from the local radio warns of a fast-approaching squall. Neighbors swap calls, trading weather wisdom and stowing loose equipment. Evelyn's barn is a flurry of preparations. Securing gates and checking latches. Stacking fresh straw and shoring up shelter for the most vulnerable. Young calves, convalescents, and the old Hereford Dam. Stringing tarps across open gaps and reinforcing weaker fence lines. Ruth keeps a watchful eye on the barometer, a family heirloom ticking insistently on the kitchen wall. Storm hits, enduring the elements. Rain comes in sheets, wind howling. The cattle press against the windbreaks, solid walls built from local timber seasons ago, a lifeline in freezing gales or searing summer heat. Evelyn monitors the herd through squinting panes, trusting the shelter's construction, but never quite exhaling. Candles flicker as thunder rolls. Sarah, fearful, cozies up to her grandmother, while Ruth recounts stories of the ice storm of 54, ice blanketing the world in silver and making heroes of anyone who could deliver hay by sled. These tales are comfort and warning both. The aftermath, assessment and lessons. Dawn reveals broken branches, soggy ground, and a section of fence flattened beneath a fallen limb. The family gets to work, no sleep, only determination. Cows are accounted for, checked for injuries or hypothermia. Repairs prioritize water troughs, electrical fencing, and shelter integrity. Evelyn logs new lessons, locations where wind funneled dangerously, weak points in the barn's siding. Neighbors arrive with chainsaws and hot coffee, everyone sharing resources and muscle. Stories are exchanged, how old Henry's coop survived another year, how the Murphy's calf took shelter in a neighbor's truck bed. Adapting through the seasons. Montage of three seasons unfolds. Winter. Blizzards threaten to freeze tanks and trap herds. The family breaks ice, distributes extra bedding, and double-checks every door. Spring thaw, flooded paddocks bring the risk of hoof rot and muddy chaos. Evelyn rotates cattle to higher ground. Summer, relentless sun means seeking or building portable shade, filling water troughs twice daily, and checking for heat stress in dark-coated cattle. Autumn winds, early cold snaps catch the unwary. The family layers feed for added energy and closes up drafty cracks in the old barn. Each season brings new tests, each answered with planning, tradition, and some necessary improvisation. Hard times and resilience. A late frost one year devastates the garden, straining the hay supply until spring growth. The family tightens belts, rationing, trading with neighboring farms, using ingenuity to preserve both livestock and hope. Fatigue, arguments, and anxiety surface, tempered by moments of solidarity. Community meals where setbacks become shared burdens. Ruth recounting the worst winter she ever saw to comfort Sarah and Micah. Small rituals, hot cider after chores, a song on the barn radio, hope nestled in routine. Building for the future. With post-storm cleanup behind them, Evelyn commits to ongoing improvements, planting fast-growing windbreaks, investing in stronger all-weather tarps, saving for metal roofing panels. She documents it all. What worked, what failed, what to try next time. Micah and Sarah, older now, offer new ideas from social media and 4-H Club: solar lighting for dark stalls, reusing old shipping pallets for quick repairs. Their growing skills blend modern methods with Ruth's time-tested advice. Closing scene: shelter is more than wood and nails. As the chapter closes, dusk falls quietly, and the barn glows from within. Cows settle, their low breathing a reminder of what's endured and what's at stake. Evelyn stands in the doorway, rain dripping from the eaves, her silhouette framed against the golden interior. Shelter's not just a roof, she reflects. It's a testament to care, and to the wisdom you only gain by standing your ground when the storms roll in. The storm passes, repairs completed, but the lessons linger, woven through every board and every story shared beneath that steadfast roof. Chapter 7: Health and Veterinary Care. Opening scene: the importance of vigilance. The chapter opens at dawn, Evelyn walking the fence line with a logbook and keen eyes. Each cow's movements, eating habits, and social interactions tell their own stories. A limp, a cough, or a dull coat means more than inconvenience. It signals the difference between health and hardship. With livestock, reality is blunt. There's rarely warning before the worst happens, and no substitute for close attention, Evelyn narrates while quietly separating a lethargic heifer from the herd. Building a preventive care routine. Vet Dr. Maribel Vasquez arrives in a battered truck, stethoscope hanging ready. She and Evelyn walk through the herd. Physicals: listen and feel, checking eyes for clarity, noses for discharge, hooves for cracks, and body scores for malnutrition or bloat. Vaccination protocol: annual boosters for blackleg, respiratory illness, and reproductive viruses. The family keeps a detailed chart taped inside the feed room: dates, dosages, and future reminders. Deworming: rotational dewormers are used judiciously to limit resistance, alternating pastures where possible. Ruth sorts through the vet box: syringes, iodine, oral electrolytes, and a battered bell, the same used by Evelyn's grandmother to call in the herd at dusk. Learning to read the signs. Micah and Sarah tag along, learning to spot early distress. Drooping ears. Isolation from the group. Reluctance to move. Changes in manure consistency or color. A section details the five-finger health check: hands to coat, ears, eyes, flank, and tail. Stories are shared at the kitchen table: an old bull who survived tetanus after a rusty nail, and the tragedy of a prize calf lost to pneumonia, both reminders of nature's unpredictability. Veterinary emergencies, when minutes matter. Midway through the chapter, a steer suddenly develops a bloated left side, classic frothy bloat from lush spring clover. Evelyn responds instantly, drives the animal into a handling chute, quickly administers a surfactant drench provided by Dr. Vasquez, drains the gas with a stomach tube as the family assists. This fast, practiced response is shown as the result of years of experience, quick action, and deep respect for the animals and their care. Preventing illness through environment. The chapter pivots to environmental health: rotating pastures to limit parasite load, regularly cleaning and refilling water troughs, spreading lime in muddy pens to prevent foot rot, disinfecting calf pens between birthing seasons. Evelyn demonstrates her morning routine: checking tank heaters in winter, brushing debris from mineral blocks, noting each animal's mood and movement. Facing difficult choices. Sometimes, even with every precaution, loss comes. The hardest day of summer: a young cow unable to stand, labored breathing, despite every treatment. The family gathers for support, the vet offers comfort, and Evelyn quietly makes the decision for humane euthanasia. Ruth says a short blessing, a holdover from years when the family dug their own burial pits. Micah and Sarah process grief beside the barn, learning that care sometimes means letting go. The chapter acknowledges the emotional toll and silent load carried by those who work with living things: grief mingled with pride, compassion, and resilience. Community, education, and growth. On weekends, the local extension service hosts a workshop at the Carter Farm. New and seasoned homesteaders alike share techniques, treat sheep and goats for parasites, and listen to Dr. Vasquez demonstrate safe vaccination. Ruth and Evelyn swap stories with newcomers, believing that open knowledge saves lives. The children look on, learning, asking questions, and gaining confidence with each hands-on task. Reflection: health as a daily practice. The day ends with a quiet walk through the now settled herd. Evelyn's journal entry is humble but resolute. We measure success not just in calves born, but in lives safeguarded and suffering relieved. The true labor of a homesteader is caring enough to notice, then acting when it matters most. Her words echo as the sun sets behind the barn, reminding all that vigilance, compassion, and the wisdom to ask for help are the heart of raising strong cattle and resilient families. Chapter 8, Breeding and Legacy. Opening sequence, A New Generation. The chapter opens on a cool, misty morning. Evelyn guides her family into the barn, lantern in hand. Among beds of sweet-smelling straw, a heifer labors. Tension and excitement ripple through the group, another cycle beginning, a living thread added to the homestead's tapestry. Ruth reminisces, her memory sharp. "The first time I helped pull a calf, my father told me, 'You're holding tomorrow in your hands.'" The camera lingers on the moment of birth, delicate, vivid, and always miraculous. Micah times contractions, learning to recognize the signs of normal progress versus distress. Sarah whispers encouragement. Evelyn quietly monitors, prepared to assist, but keen not to intervene unless needed. Decisions, natural breeding versus artificial insemination. Once the calves are nuzzling against their mothers, Evelyn and her neighbor Henry review breeding strategies by the post and rail fence. Natural breeding. Keeping a bull on the farm ensures independence and allows the herd to select for temperament and adaption. It brings risks, injury, aggression, expensive upkeep, so not every homestead opts for it. Artificial insemination, AI used by many modern homesteaders for precise genetics, more control over calving intervals, and the ability to introduce new traits, marbling, calving ease, without a resident bull. Evelyn consults her notebook of bloodlines, recording every calf's dam and sire. She teaches Micah about responsible inbreeding avoidance, looking for fresh genetics from trusted sources and maintaining detailed pedigree records. A good herd book is a family Bible and a weather ledger rolled into one. The emotional complexity of legacy. With every calf comes a new set of hopes, and sometimes heartbreak. The family faces difficult choices: which animals to keep, which to sell, and how to ensure both economic stability and the preservation of traits like docility, mothering ability, and hardiness. An old Hereford cow, beloved but now slow to rise, presents a moral dilemma. Ruth and Evelyn debate whether to let her retire in the pasture or send her to market, weighing sentiment against stewardship and sustainability. These moments cut deep, revealing the ties that bind human and animal life on the farm. Legacy means responsibility, Evelyn muses as her son strokes a newborn. Not just passing on what's easy, but what's right. Community exchange and breeding days. The next scene shows a lively bull swap day in the county, a tradition as old as the farms themselves. Homesteaders mingle, inspecting bulls, trading stories, and negotiating friendly deals to keep local bloodlines vigorous. Sarah and other young 4-H members tag along, learning basic genetics with hands-on guidance. Evaluating bulls: size, muscling, conformation, gait, health. These are debated lively over thermoses of coffee and plates of home-baked pie. Genetic diversity. By exchanging bulls every couple of years, local farmers strengthen the resilience of the regional cattle population. Tradition. Stories of legendary bulls, gentle giants, and stubborn escape artists become part of farm folklore. Records, rituals, and reflection. Each calving season, Evelyn and Ruth gather by the kitchen table for herd book night, an annual ritual involving tea, old photos, recall of calves long grown or gone, and the updating of herd records. The lineage of every animal is mapped in careful script, each entry a testament to survival and the long memory of the land. For Micah and Sarah, these nights spark growing pride. The narrative emphasizes that breeding well isn't just about profit. It's about ensuring the health, temperament, and legacy of both herd and family. Personal growth and future vision. With the chapter's close, Evelyn stands with her children at dawn, each hand resting on the back of a gentle-smelling, dewy calf. The air is thick with promise. She speaks softly. "What we breed isn't just cattle. It's our hope for a future where the land and our family's work will outlast us." A final lingering shot. Calves bounding into tall grass beside their watchful mothers, the new generation under sun-washed skies, and the farm alive with continuity and promise. Chapter 9, Weaning and Growth Challenges. Opening scene, the bittersweet transition. It's late summer on the homestead. Evelyn stands at the gate, watching as calves pace nervously along the fence line, separated from their mothers for the first time. Their cries echo down the valley, a mournful chorus that pulls at the heartstrings of even the most seasoned cattle keeper. Sarah clings to the rails, eyes damp. Are they scared? She asks. Ruth squeezes her hand gently, voice full of empathy. Change always sounds the loudest at the start, but they're stronger than we think. And so are we. The importance of weaning. Evelyn explains the practical reasons for weaning. Calves must transition to a diet that prepares them for growth without straining their mothers. Proper timing and method can mean the difference between thriving livestock and setbacks that can last seasons. Optimal age. Most calves are weaned between 6 to 8 months, though circumstances, drought, cow health, market conditions can influence timing. Signs of readiness. Steady weight gain, interest in solid food, and strong social behaviors among calves. Methods, strategy over stress. There are several approaches to reduce stress during the weaning process. Fenceline weaning. Calves and cows are penned side by side, close enough to see and touch but unable to nurse. This method eases separation anxiety and leads to healthier weight gains. Gradual separation. Calves spend part of each day apart from their mothers, increasing solo time until full weaning day. Abrupt weaning. Sometimes necessary due to emergencies, but often results in higher stress and slower calf growth. Evelyn opts for fenceline weaning, citing her past experiences. She ensures fresh water, quality hay, and mineral tubs are always within easy reach. The key is routine. If they can predict the next meal, they can build confidence. Emotional adjustments, animals and family. For the first 2 days, the barnyard is restless. Calves pace and call out, cows respond, and sleep is scarce for both herd and family. Sarah and Micah join Evelyn in calming the calves. Soft voices, slow movements, familiar routines. Sarah's comfort, singing quietly to the calves, reading aloud favorite farm stories. Micah's duty, meticulously records each calf's weight, appetite, and demeanor. He notes improvements by day 3, a little more grazing, a little less calling. Evelyn reflects on the empathy required in this work. You can't ask the land to give without giving something back. Patience is part of the promise. Creep feeders and growth. To ease nutritional transition, Evelyn sets up creep feeders, special pens allowing only calves access to grain and high-quality hay. She demonstrates mix ratios and explains the importance of trace minerals and salt. Nutritional focus. Calves require protein for muscle and frame development, energy for play and growth, and roughage for healthy digestion. Water. Access is double-checked, as stress and heat can cause dehydration and slow gains. Community vet Dr. Vasquez visits, offering guidance on vaccinations and boosters administered around weaning time. She and Evelyn share strategies for minimizing illness susceptibility, emphasizing sanitation, observation, and gentle handling. Socialization and gentle management. Micah leads sessions on approachable handling, moving slowly through pens, using sorting sticks with care, and calling calves by name to foster trust. Neighbor kids stop by, trading stories about surly bulls and clever heifers. Through laughter, everyone learns. The quiet pen experiment. Evelyn designates a small space for the most anxious calves, limited noise, extra hay, daily check-ins. Results are promising. Calmer animals, better post-weaning growth. Setbacks and lessons. Not all goes smoothly. One calf, Dusty, refuses new feed, growing weak and listless. Evelyn and Ruth work through the night, hand-mixing oats with fresh milk replacer, urging Dusty to rebound. Ultimately, persistence and close monitoring save the day. Dusty bounces back, much to the relief of the family. The experience is a reminder. Setbacks will come, but attention and care can turn small disasters into future strengths. Reflection, growth beyond the barn. By week's end, the calves are grazing peacefully in the golden light, a testament to their resilience and the careful stewardship guiding them. The family gathers for a simple celebration, sharing stories from seasons past, toasting with sweet cider to another challenge met. Evelyn's journal closes the chapter. Weaning marks more than a new stage in a calf's life. It's a lesson in letting go, in trusting that what we've given will be enough for the next step. The echoes of their first week apart will fade, but every strong, confident step they take, on their own, means we're raising more than beef, we're raising tomorrow's hope. Chapter 10, Finishing, the Final Diet. Opening scene, the decision looms. Autumn settles in. Evelyn stands at the edge of the paddock, clipboard in hand, as the family surveys their maturing herd. The cattle have spent a season converting sunlight and grass to flesh and muscle, but now one last transition remains, finishing. The way you end a journey matters as much as how you begin it. Every choice leaves its mark, in the beef itself, and in our own hearts. Evelyn gathers her family around the kitchen table to discuss options and the meaning behind them. Grain or grass, flavor profile, marbling, ethics, and market goal. The decision is fraught with logistics, financial realities, and the emotional weight of seeing animals through their final months. The science of finishing. Evelyn explains the difference between grass-finished and grain-finished beef. Grass finishing. Cattle stay on rotated pasture until slaughter. The result is leaner meat, a distinct flavor, and less overall fat. Grain finishing. Cattle are transitioned to a ration that blends corn, barley, soybean meal, and minerals for 90 to 120 days, increasing intramuscular fat, marbling, and contributing to a milder flavor and tender, juicy cuts. The family sets up a makeshift feedlot, sturdy fencing, fresh water mains, shaded troughs. Ruth describes their transition protocol. Slowly introduce grain, monitor for bloat, ensure roughage remains available, and keep records on weight gain and feed efficiency. Micah, ever the numbers guy, keeps a weekly log. Average daily gain. Feed-to-gain ratio. Behavioral changes. The daily routine. Every day during finishing. Grain and silage are carefully mixed and measured. Salt and minerals are replenished. Troughs are scrubbed, water lines checked. Cattle are observed for signs of stress, pacing, lack of appetite, discomfort. Sarah lingers in the lot, calming nervous steers, brushing out coats, and learning the rhythms of final stage care. Micah notes that finished cattle are docile but easily startled. Gentle handling keeps meat quality high and the animals calmer. Diet debates and family conversations. Around the dinner table, the family debates their finishing method. Evelyn prefers the sustainability of a full pasture finish, but understands the local market's demand for marbled beef. Ruth remembers lean cuts of the past, more flavor but tougher chewing. Micah reads marketing stats from the extension office. Well-marbled beef always fetches a higher price here. They decide on a compromise. Some animals will be grain-finished for the local market, others grass-finished for custom sales and their own table. Managing the transition. Transitioning cattle from pasture to grain is fraught with risk, too fast, and the animals can develop acidosis. First week, grain is scattered atop hay, never making up more than 10% of ration. Second week, grain proportion rises gradually, always watching for digestive issues. By week three, cattle adjust, gain speed, and the visible transformation in their condition begins. The children help notice small signs, listless behavior, the subtle limp, the sneaky individual who tries to bully the trough. Each issue is addressed, logged, and when needed, discussed with Dr. Vasquez or the extension agent. Market, butcher, and the countdown. As animals near the target weight, the family schedules a date with their trusted local processor. Evelyn and Ruth review health records, double-check withdrawal periods for all medications, and withhold grain before final transport to reduce stress. The family takes new care with the last weeks. Low stress is the rule. We want them calm, not just for the beef, but because it's what we owe them, Evelyn reminds. The emotional weight. Even with all their experience, finishing the herd brings emotional tension. The children quietly say goodbyes on long walks around the pasture. Ruth recalls her first steer, how hard it was to let go. Sarah's entry in the farm journal, written in neat, blocky letters. I loved Maple. She was silly. I hope whoever eats our beef knows she was happy. Reflection, the meaning of good stewardship. On the eve before the first group leaves for processing, the family shares a quiet meal, roast from the last year's steer, garden vegetables, homemade bread. They tell stories, count blessings, and acknowledge the difficulty ahead. Evelyn's voice, firm with conviction. Raising cattle for meat never grows easy. The hope is always that our care, our patience, and the choices we make give dignity to every life in our keeping. A long zoom wilds out over the feedlot at sunset, golden coats, peaceful shapes, the land holding the promise of both completion and return. Chapter 11. Processing and saying goodbye. Opening scene. The quiet weight of the final day. Evelyn rises before dawn, her footsteps quiet on the worn floorboards. In the kitchen, the family gathers for a subdued breakfast. No easy conversation, each person lost in thought. Outside, the air is cold and sharp, breath clouding in short bursts. Ruth sits with Sarah, gently braiding her hair. It's all part of the promise, she murmurs, caring well, right up to the very end. Ritual and respect. Evelyn leads the family through the last preparations. She reads aloud from the farm journal, recounting each animal's history, dates, challenges, moments of pride. Micah brings out the hay-scented old blanket he's always used to calm the cattle. "For luck," he says quietly. Together, they offer small thanks, brushing coats, speaking softly, sharing a moment of stillness with the herd before loading begins. The loading, gentle goodbyes. The process is meticulous and reverent. Each animal is walked calmly to the chute, guided by experienced hands and the soft encouragement of the whole family. There are setbacks, a nervous steer box, Sarah quietly cries, but Micah reassures her with a steady hand. Neighbors arrive, offering moral support and a hand with gates. The old Hereford cow, last to leave, lingers in the morning gold. Evelyn gently strokes her neck and whispers thanks, unable to hide her tears. The journey to the processor. The trailer pulls down the long drive as the family watches in silence, the fields reflecting back years of hope, struggle, and progress. Ruth places an arm around Evelyn, and together they share a moment of memory, thinking of generations who made this same journey, honoring the cycle of life and stewardship. As the animals depart, Evelyn's voiceover lingers on the complexity. "It never gets easy saying goodbye. It shouldn't. That's how we know we did it right. At the processor, honoring rituals. At the local processing facility, the family is greeted by familiar faces. They ensure the staff know each animal's name, request gentle handling, and observe as much of the process as allowed. The processor, a trusted friend, speaks quietly as he walks them through each step, emphasizing animal dignity, clean facilities, and the skilled craft of local butchering. "Respect starts long before the beef ever fills a package," he tells Evelyn, coping with grief. Back home, the absence is palpable. The pasture feels quieter, the routine disrupted. Sarah weeps into Ruth's shoulder. Micah throws himself into chores with new intensity. Evelyn journals late into the night, recognizing her own grief and searching for ways to honor the lives given. She organizes a small blessing with neighbors, candles, quiet words, and memories shared. They remind each other of what's been accomplished. Animals that lived well, ate well, and were never hurried. New skills gained and old traditions preserved. The unspoken bond between family, land, and herd. Reflection, the thread that binds. Ruth helps Sarah hang a new family photo on the barn wall, children, calves, and elders all together. She whispers a lesson. "Everything we raise becomes a part of who we are. Every farewell teaches us to treasure what stays." Evelyn closes the chapter beneath the stars, watching over empty fields with gratitude and mourning in equal measure. Raising cattle for meat is a full circle. Each ending makes room for new beginnings, a lesson in loss, hope, and humble stewardship. Chapter 12, Meat Returns, Butchery and Celebration. Opening scene, the meat comes home. A knock at the door brings the local butcher's delivery, large, ice-packed boxes labeled with the family's name. Evelyn, joined by Ruth and the children, carefully checks each pack, steaks, roasts, brisket ribs, all neatly labeled and vacuum-sealed. The air is charged with a mixture of accomplishment and solemn reflection. Ruth instructs Micah and Sarah on sorting and storing. Freezer organization is as much a ritual as every step that came before. This is what respect looks like, using every part, wasting nothing, giving thanks for what's given. Butchery lessons, the art behind the cuts. Evelyn invites several families and the community's young 4-H club to the kitchen. The butcher demonstrates differences between prime, choice, and stew cuts. How to properly carve for steaks, roasts, and ground beef. Tips on wrapping, storing, and aging for maximum flavor. The group learns the value of nose-to-tail stewardship, saving tallow for soap, bones for stock, organs for traditional dishes. Sarah, fascinated, tries her hand at trimming a brisket. Micah takes detailed notes on yields and storage. Community feast, from farm to table. That evening, the kitchen fills with rich scents. Neighboring families arrive, bringing garden vegetables, fresh bread, and pies. Evelyn orchestrates the grill, searing thick steaks and homemade sausages, while Ruth tends a simmering pot of stew. Stories are shared of cattle past, years both lean and plentiful. Children write thank you notes for the animals in chalk on the barn's old slate. Traditions surface, a toast to the land, the herd, and those at our table. The meal itself is an act of gratitude, every bite a celebration of work, patience, and hope. Tradition and skill, preserving knowledge. In the days following, Evelyn and her neighbors. Can and cure beef for winter, corned beef, jerky, dried strips for hiking packs. Teach young homesteaders to make stock, save marrow bones, and create head cheese. compile a cookbook of family recipes combining old and new traditions. Ruth recalls, "So much of this life is in these little acts, passing down the method, the memory, the meaning behind every meal." Reflection, the emotional fullness of reaping. The chapter closes with Evelyn journaling by lamplight. From seed to grass, from calf to table, each step means something more. Raising cattle for meat isn't just about sustaining bodies. It's about feeding a deeper hunger for connection, memory, and gratitude. This table is proof, every hand that helped, every lesson learned, and every life honored. The camera lifts through the kitchen window, revealing laughter and light inside. In the barn, new calves sleep. The cycle continues, full of hope and the solemn promise that every season spent together deepens the legacy of land and life. Chapter 13, Record-Keeping and Legal Realities. Opening scene, the unseen backbone. Morning on the homestead brings not just fresh chores in the barn, but also the quieter, crucial work at a desk stacked with journals, receipts, and regulatory pamphlets. Evelyn sits beside Ruth, reviewing last season's herd book, aligning each birth, sale, and treatment against the year's calendar. A farm isn't just built on land, Evelyn reflects, but on records, each number, each date, the proof that good stewardship leaves nothing to chance. Micah, now growing into a partner in the family business, enters data into a weathered laptop. The screen flickers through spreadsheets, vaccination routines, calf weights, hay inventory, and the running tally of costs and returns. Navigating regulations, a moving target. Every homesteader must contend with a web of state and local laws, from livestock identification and movement to health certification, food labeling, and direct meat sales. Cameras cut to Evelyn sorting envelopes, property tax notices, veterinary reports, and flyers for upcoming agricultural compliance workshops. The local extension agent pays a visit, walking Evelyn through required records, birth, vaccination, and health logs, feedlot compliance, treatment withdrawal periods. Legal sales, proper USDA/state inspection for on-farm meat sales, labeling rules for farmers' markets, and shipping paperwork for animals leaving state lines. Liability and traceability, the importance of ear tags, branding, or RFID chips for disease control and dispute resolution. Ruth recalls a past fine for an overlooked paperwork error. Humbling, expensive, and a reminder never to ignore the business engine powering the homestead. The paper trail, from pasture to plate. Evelyn demonstrates her system, part digital, part tactile. Herd books are matched to electronic files, old receipts clipped to handwritten journals, cloud backups insured against loss. Tracking growth, Micah generates charts documenting average daily gain from birth to finishing, comparing feed regimen efficacy. Health audits, documentation for regulators, ensuring prevention protocols are followed and every animal's history is transparent. Sarah, with artistic flair, illustrates new calf records with small sketches, making the data personal and memorable. Sales and the marketplace. Preparing to sell beef at local markets, Evelyn fills out. Processing certificates. Product labels, weight, cut, date, farm info. Customer ledger. A simple black notebook capturing buyer feedback, order histories, and special requests. Community members share tips, like printable template invoices and mobile apps for quick sales at pop-up events. The documentary overlays these voices to reveal the diversity in approaches. Some go full digital, others preserve the old ledgers for sentimental and legal reasons alike. The toll and triumph of bureaucracy. Some days are spent chasing paperwork, not cattle. The family navigates tax headaches, product recalls from neighboring counties, and new legislation changing rules for farm gate sales. Evelyn reminds herself and the children, these headaches are part of our freedom. If we want to sell and stand by our quality, we prove it, on paper, every time. Ruth, ever the sage, tells stories of how regulation has grown since her youth, sometimes for the better, sometimes not, but always requiring tenacity, honesty, and attention to detail. Lessons learned and shared. Evelyn invites local beginners for paperwork night, turning a chore into community. Coffee brews, forms are passed around, stories of audits and successes lighten the mood. A neighbor celebrates clearing her first season with zero citation. Another mourns a paperwork snafu that cost a week's harvest. The group agrees, clear, honest records protect not just the farm, but its reputation and legacy. Reflection, order as stewardship. As the chapter closes, Evelyn files away the last receipt beneath the beam of an old lamp. She inhales, comforted by the quiet order of her system, aware that each bit of data represents a promise kept to her family, to her animals, and to her customers. In the end, every good story and every good steak begins with trust. Our books and our words must always agree. The scene fades out on hands tapping gently across both paper and keyboard, building a bridge from tradition to future, one entry at a time. Chapter 14, Stewardship and Environmental Responsibility. Opening scene, Care for Land and Life. Evelyn walks the boundary of their property at sunrise, boots brushing dew off wild clover. With every footstep, she surveys not just her herd, but the grass, the water, and the soil that make the entire system possible. Ruth, watching her youngest grandchild scatter compost, comments, "It's not only about cattle. Every living thing on this land is your responsibility." A good steward leaves the land better than it was found, Evelyn reflects, cupping a handful of dark, rich soil. Building healthy soil. The heart of sustainable ranching beats under the ground. Evelyn demonstrates how they monitor soil health, looking for earthworms, using simple tests to check moisture retention, comparing the organic matter between paddocks. Periodically, they invite Mr. Singh, the agronomist, to walk the fields and offer guidance on cover cropping, planting legumes, radishes, and clover between grazing rotations to heal and feed the soil. Manure composting, turning barn waste into nutrient-rich fertilizer that spread in thin layers, avoiding runoff or burns. Minimizing compaction, rotating grazing, keeping herds out of saturated paddocks, and refraining from using heavy machinery during wet spells. These efforts gradually rebuild topsoil, improve water absorption, and boost the pasture's resilience through drought or heavy rain. Water conservation and quality. Sarah helps install new rain barrels and checks the slow trickle of the solar-powered well pump. Fresh water access is more than a chore, it's a lifeline. The chapter shows protecting creeks by fencing cattle away from stream beds to reduce erosion, creating small wetland buffers where runoff from pens flows into dense reed patches, naturally filtering sediment and nutrients. Micah notes changes over the seasons in a simple notebook, tracking when the creek runs highest and when water must be carefully rationed. Habitat for wildlife. Cameras reveal corridors intentionally left unfenced for deer, rabbits, and even the occasional fox. Evelyn explains that biodiversity helps their ecosystem thrive. Bees pollinate clover, predators keep mice in check, and songbirds feast on pests. The family joins community efforts to plant oak saplings and native wildflowers on the margins. Ruth humorously recounts a standoff between the barn cat and a determined owl perched above the hayloft. Climate challenges and adaptive strategies. A sudden autumn cold snap reminds the family that climate patterns are in flux. Evelyn, Ruth, and the children brainstorm backup plans. More drought-tolerant forage, stockpiling extra hay, and adding shelter belts, rows of trees as wind breaks. Neighbors share methods for recharging groundwater, such as swales and ponds, at the year's harvest potluck. Despite their best efforts, the land is never entirely predictable. Evelyn confides in her journal, "Stewardship means never thinking you're finished learning. There's always a better way, or a challenge you didn't see coming." The broader context, regenerative agriculture. Evelyn invites in a local soil health advocate to demonstrate how regenerative practices, grazing in harmony with plant growth, rotating livestock, composting manure, and maintaining continuous ground cover, can restore even worn-out land. Micah films the lesson for the 4-H Club, and Sarah writes a report for school, proud of her family's impact. The family learns to read the land's subtle feedback: quicker pasture recovery, richer biodiversity, and fewer weeds crowding out valuable forage. Community conversations and hope. Once a month, families gather at the Carter's picnic table beneath spreading maples. They discuss conservation grants, swap heirloom seeds, and debate the best way to balance tradition with new findings. Evelyn hosts a tour for a regional farming association, showing her compost piles and describing the connection between healthy cattle and healthy soil. As dusk falls and frogs begin their chorus, Ruth offers this: "The land remembers who cared for it. If we all do our part, maybe our children and theirs will have the same choices and a little more grace than we did." Reflection, a legacy of stewardship. The chapter closes with Evelyn and Sarah planting a little oak just beyond the newest paddock. The camera lingers on their hands in the earth, old and young, strong and learning, each doing their part. We are not only raising beef, but building a future. Our greatest harvest is the land we leave behind, alive, abundant, and ready for hands yet to come. Chapter 15, Weather, Risk, and Recovery. Opening sequence, Living with Extremes. Dawn breaks over a landscape changed by the unpredictable whims of weather. Evelyn stands beside a battered rain gauge, recalling a year when drought left the pond as a cracked, empty basin. Ruth pages through journals from decades past. We always say, hope for the best. Prepare for anything, but no two seasons are ever the same. Micah surveys last summer's hay fields, their yields cut in half by relentless sun. Sarah points to high water marks on the barn, reminders of a flash flood the year before. The threat and promise of the elements is ever present, preparing for the worst. Evelyn reviews the family's annual risk plan. Drought. Stretch water with barrels and efficient lines, ration hay, prioritize the strongest animals during feed shortages, and seed pastures with hardier, drought-tolerant grasses. Flood. Clear drainage ditches, install sandbags, relocate vulnerable stock to higher paddocks, and create emergency evacuation routes. Blizzard. Double bedding in barns, rotate cattle to sheltered areas, monitor and break ice for water access every few hours. Ruth describes how, despite precautions, there are years when nothing goes as planned. The family's archive includes grainy photos of neighbors hauling hay by sled during whiteouts and carrying buckets at dawn when pipes froze solid. The reality of loss. Montage cuts to the toughest moments, cattle lost to lightning, feed ruined by mold, orchard trees felled in a gale. Evelyn recalls the helplessness of watching a favorite steer succumb to heat stroke. The family meets these moments with practical resilience. Emergency vet calls, mutual aid from neighbors, rationing to get by. Sarah learns the profound weight of these seasons, the emotional cost of uncertainty, and the pride in not giving up, even when fears run high. Community, mutual aid, and ingenuity. The documentary visits a barn raising after a neighbor's roof is torn off by wind. Volunteers of all ages gather, some with hammers, others bearing food and water. Ruth insists, out here, no one is left to fend for themselves. Trades are common. Hay for labor, advice for seedlings, a spare generator here, a strong back there. Evelyn details how informal phone trees alert families to oncoming hazards or livestock in danger. Community resilience is built with potlucks and practical action alike. Adapting and innovating. Micah experiments with new technologies, solar-powered water pumps for dry years, soil moisture sensors, and a weather app networked among the region's farmers. Sarah helps install drip irrigation, learning how small investments can pay off when the world turns volatile. Evelyn, combining tradition with innovation, plants shelter belts along vulnerable paddocks and builds earthen berms. Old lessons mix with new strategies to build a system that can recover faster, lose less, and adapt better. Emotional terrain, coping with setbacks. After a harsh storm, Evelyn journals her frustration and fatigue. Ruth comforts her, sharing a story about almost losing the farm during a triple-year drought in her youth. We thought about giving up, she admits, but one good season can change everything. Resilience isn't about never failing. It's about rising one more time than you fall. Sarah illustrates a children's story about the farm's flood escape dogs, turning heartbreak into hope and a lesson for next year's 4-H meeting. Signals of recovery. In the final scenes, new grass emerges in the wake of disaster. Fragile but determined. Cattle, thinner but alive, stray toward the revived pond. The family hosts a recovery barbecue with neighbors, sharing food, laughter, and plans for next time. New projects are born, deeper wells, a more organized hay bank, and a pledge to keep learning no matter what tomorrow brings. Evelyn's closing words, reflective, unbowed, sum up this chapter. This land and these lives will always be at the mercy of the sky. But with preparation, creativity, and each other, there is always a path back. The only certainty is change, and the knowledge that every challenge survived deepens the roots of our home. Chapter 16, Community and Connection. Opening scene, the heart of rural life. As autumn gives way to early frost, the Carter homestead pulses with life. It is the night of the seasonal potluck, a tradition stretching back decades, older than many of the barns themselves. The farmyard glows with lanterns. Long wooden tables, draped in heirloom quilts, sag under the weight of home-cooked fare, smoked brisket, root cellar stews, pies cooled on window ledges. The arrival of evening draws neighbors, some old friends, some new faces, each bearing food and stories. Evelyn greets them with hugs, remembering hardships shared and harvests celebrated. Laughter, the true medicine of rural living, fills the night air. The sharing economy, barter, skill, and trust. At the heart of the gathering is a philosophy of giving and exchange. Barter board. A chalkboard lists everything on offer. Eggs for seeds, fence repairs for honey, animal feed for fresh bread. Evelyn and Ruth trade garden vegetables for Henry's labor, mending a busted gate. Micah swaps homemade jerky for a neighbor's expert tune-up on the tractor. Younger homesteaders share their new knowledge. Solar pump kits, apps for pasture mapping, and seed swap groups. Elders trade old country wisdom, natural fly deterrents, hidden springs, the best way to keep calves calm in a thunderstorm. Connections beyond the fence. At the potluck, the mood turns tender and reflective as stories are told. Mrs. Wilkins, now pushing 90, remembers nights by oil lamp, every neighbor a lifeline in blizzard or storm. A young couple, new to the valley, share their first calving mishap, both embarrassing and hilarious, and now, thanks to the group, instructional for all. The family of Maria Singh, the agronomist, sings a folk song in their ancestors' tongue, underscoring the blending of traditions into the rural fabric. Children chase one another between tree trunks while Sarah teaches them how to identify wildflowers and leaves. Teenagers gather by the barn, comparing notes on college plans and their dreams of returning to steward the land. The festival of food. The meal itself is the ultimate celebration. Slow-cooked cuts of beef from this year's herd, passed around with reverence and jokes. Shared recipes printed on brown paper and tied with twine, each dish a tangible link from soil to soul. Homemade wine poured into mismatched glasses, each toast a ripple of gratitude across the crowd. Evelyn proposes a special toast to the land and all who help keep its promise. May our fences hold, our pastures grow, and our kitchens always have a place for one more. Bridging alone and together. As dishes are cleared, impromptu music begins, a guitar, a fiddle found in the attic, harmonica notes floating in the firelit dark. The Carter's kitchen transforms into a dance floor. Between tunes, Henry shares a hard truth. Homesteading can be lonely. But ritual, tradition, these keep the dark at bay. Evelyn adds, community is our real crop. Without it, not much would thrive. The family takes time for simple gestures, a hand on a shoulder, a casserole delivered to a home stricken by illness, tools lent in crisis, advice shared with sincerity. Every act strengthens the invisible bonds that hold individuals together, even through rough years. Traditions old and new. Some customs never die. Quilt raffles raise money for a family affected by a medical emergency. Kids parade their best homemade jams and pickles, prizes given for recipes with long lineage. Blessing of the herd is offered by Ruth, an interfaith moment, nodding to the many streams of belief that run through the valley. Each year brings new rituals. Micah records oral histories for a podcast project. Sarah collects seeds from everyone willing, starting a community seed bank. The blend of old and innovative binds the group across generations. Closing scene, the glow after gathering. As the evening winds down, friends trade leftovers and stack plates. Children, sleepy, snuggle beneath borrowed jackets. Evelyn and Ruth stand in the golden kitchen, breathing in the peace that comes only from hard work, good food, and the surety of belonging. Evelyn journals that night. Homesteading is survival, yes, but it's far more than that. It's the constant weaving of friendship, kindness, and purpose, a table always set, a gate always open. Outside, the pastures are quiet, the herd at rest. Inside, hearts are full. Chapter 17, Passing Down the Legacy. Opening scene, the ties that bind. A new day begins on the Carter homestead, not with the solitary pace of morning chores, but the sound of voices old and young blending together. Evelyn, Ruth, Micah, and Sarah are joined by family from across the region for the annual Heritage Day, a living celebration of their farm's story. Photos and mementos are spread across a quilt on the lawn, a faded branding iron, initials pressed into its iron, a yellowed letter from Evelyn's grandmother, 4-H ribbons and hand-drawn herd records from years long past. The scene radiates a warmth only shared history can provide. It takes more than fences to hold a farm together, Evelyn narrates. It takes memory, patience, and a will to pass on what matters. Telling the story. Around a long table, Ruth leads the way with tales from her childhood. How blizzards reshaped the land. How the community rebuilt after fires. How every new calf was a reason to gather and celebrate. Children listen raptly, absorbing every word. Micah records audio for a digital family archive, determined to preserve the full sweep of stories. Sarah presents her illustrated family tree, tracing cattle lines back generations, adding sketches of the pasture in every season. Neighbors join in, offering recollections of communal hang, creekside picnics, and difficult years that nearly broke even the strongest hearts. The sharing is candid, failures and mistakes relayed with as much pride as triumphs, underscoring that resilience is the truest inheritance. Rituals of learning. Tradition comes alive as children shadow the adults through chores. Micah teaches the youngest cousin how to check hoof health, showing patience learned in struggle. Sarah walks new arrivals through the pasture, identifying wildflowers and teaching their folk uses. Evelyn instructs a small circle on rotating pastures, charting out grazing plans on notepads, passing down her own handwritten guides. Ruth hosts a canning and soap-making session in the kitchen, older hands guiding curious learners through the old rhythms of the land, no lesson completed until each student gets their own moment at the fire or stove. Milestones and moments. The day's centerpiece is the planting of a new oak sapling at the pasture's edge. Each family member contributes a scoop of earth, a wish murmured for the farm's future. This simple ritual binds the line from past to present, roots driven deep in both memory and promise. Inside, family albums grow with the addition of new photos. Muddy boots beside the tree, children clutching jars and homemade gifts, Ruth and Evelyn laughing side by side. Facing change. The day is not only about honoring what remains unchanged. The children ask questions about college and urban life. Evelyn answers honestly, acknowledging both the lure of new horizons and the quiet pull to return home. Some family have chosen city lives, others split their time, but all return, drawn by the enduring magnet of land and legacy. Plans are hatched for remote learning, podcasts, and online classes to keep farm knowledge relevant and growing. Elders share encouragement. Take what you need from the world, but always bring back something to help us grow. The power of mentorship. The homestead's legacy becomes more than genetics or land. It is felt most in the relationships, teachers and learners, parents and children, neighbors and new arrivals united by a devotion to place. Evelyn mentors a neighbor's teenage daughter through her first calving season. Micah organizes a workshop for local youth, fence repair, basic animal care, and the ethics of stewardship. Sarah swaps seeds and tips with friends, dreaming together of a future where the farm remains a beacon of knowledge and sharing. Closing reflection, enduring threads. As dusk settles, the family gathers for a meal beneath the newly planted oak. Stories are exchanged, laughter rings, and the air is thick with the scent of wood smoke and candied apples. From the porch, Evelyn looks out over three generations and countless friends, heart full. A farm is not preserved by stubbornness alone, but by the joy of sharing it, by reminding each soul that their roots matter and their future can grow anywhere. The camera's final shot lingers on the sapling, its leaves glinting in the evening light, while across the pasture, fireflies signal another night of promise. Chapter 18. Facing the Personal Toll. Opening scene, solitude and reflection. A pale dusk settles over the homestead. Evelyn steps out alone, her silhouette long and thin against the encroaching night. She pauses by the old barn, fingers trailing along the grainy wood, head bowed. Inside, the house is filled with warmth and laughter, but outside, she allows herself a quiet moment with her thoughts. Resilience isn't just about surviving, Evelyn muses in voiceover. It's carrying the weight of every loss, and choosing, again and again, not to give up. The hidden costs of homesteading. The demands of the land take more than physical energy. They exact a mental and emotional price. Evelyn recounts sleepless nights, lying awake, listening for signs of trouble, replaying the losses. A beloved cow felled by illness, financial setbacks after a failed winter's hay crop, friendships strained by long absences. Burnout, repetitive work, uncertainty, and the weight of responsibility were on both body and spirit. Isolation, long stretches without neighbors, friends busy on their own farms, support sometimes distant. Financial stress, unexpected repairs, lean markets, and weather events threaten even the most carefully managed budgets. Personal sacrifice, missed family events, hobbies left behind, precious little time for self-care. Evelyn's journal is filled with candid reflections, frustration, fatigue, fear of failure, and occasionally pride in small victories. Coping strategies, finding meaning and strength. She acknowledges her own moments of near collapse and the ways she tries to cope. Routine, finding comfort in the rhythm of chores and the tangible progress of each day. Nature is solace. Walks in the pasture, time with animals, moments of sunrise and sunset offer healing and perspective. Support networks. Group texts with local homesteaders, community suppers, Ruth's unwavering encouragement, and Micah's ability to coax laughter in the hardest moments. Mindfulness and journaling. Taking time for meditation, reflection, and gratitude, even in the face of disappointment. Ruth shares wisdom from years gone by. It's not weakness to rest. The land needs it, and so do we. Family and interpersonal challenges. The strain sometimes seeps into relationships. Arguments flare up, over money, over ways to solve new problems, over Micah's dreams of city life or Sarah's stubborn streak. Evelyn admits to guilt, for lost tempers, missed chances to celebrate, for resentment that bubbles over in hard seasons. Yet, threads of forgiveness run through every apology and each shared chore. Small gestures build resilience. A cup of tea left at a bedside, silent company during night checks, a note in the lunchbox. Facing losses, grieving and moving forward. Not every animal can be saved. Not every hope comes true. Evelyn shares the story of her favorite heifer lost to calving complications, the pain, the guilt, the healing. The family holds a small ritual in the quiet of the barn, marking the loss and choosing gratitude for what remains. Sarah draws pictures, Ruth bakes bread to comfort, and Micah helps clear the old pen. These acts, both simple and necessary, stitch the family together in sorrow and recovery alike. Community is buoy and anchor. Neighbors sense the hard times, often before a word is spoken. They arrive with casseroles, spare hay, offers of a listening ear. Evelyn reflects on the humility required to accept help and the courage it takes to ask. A friend leaves anonymous groceries at the back door after a storm. The church group organizes a mailbox drop of encouraging notes for local farms. The annual harvest dinner becomes a quiet confession of struggles and a communal recommitment to mutual aid. Rediscovering purpose. In a closing moment, Evelyn stands at the pasture's edge as stars emerge overhead. She considers the hardships and her determination to keep going. We are more than what tries to break us. Out here, every loss shapes a deeper well of strength. And in the quiet after, when you gather up the scattered pieces, you find you're still holding hope. The camera drifts upward, following her gaze as the night sky stretches across the land, vast and full of silent promise. Chapter 19. Transformation and Catharsis. Opening sequence, the passage of time. A sweeping time-lapse flows over the Carter homestead, tiny shoots emerging after winter's melt, summer wildflowers crowding fence lines, the slow burn of autumn, and finally, the muffled silence of snow. Through these cycles, the farm and family are changed by work, by weather, by challenge and perseverance. Evelyn stands where her grandfather once broke ground, comparing faded photos to the world around her. Each seasonal shift tells a story, not just of survival, but of steady, subtle growth. We are never the same from one year to the next, Evelyn reflects in voiceover. Land changes, people change, and sometimes it's only by stepping back that you see how far you've come. Personal transformation. Micah, once wary and uncertain, now moves with comfortable authority, driving the tractor with skill, teaching others what once baffled him. Sarah, brighter and bolder, records her own farm life stories as a video diary, sharing them online to inspire distant friends. Chores that were once daunting become meditative. Youthful mistakes give way to lessons, then pride. Arguments and setbacks, once overwhelming, now seem manageable, proof of strengthened bonds. Ruth, slowing with age but still wise and strong, takes satisfaction in seeing her knowledge passed down, her values living in new hands. She mentors neighbor children, always insisting they memorize not just how, but why, each tradition matters. The land's response. The farm itself transforms in step with its caretakers. Ground once thin and tired grows richer with each year's rotation and compost. Creek banks are stabilized, wildlife grows restless but emboldened, a hawk patrols above, fox kits dash in twilight, wildflowers crowd spaces once bare. Mr. Singh, the agronomist, visits to measure soil and marvels at progress. You've invited life back here. That's the greatest legacy of all. Evelyn and Micah walk together, taking soil samples amidst thick, scented grass, discussing new seeding projects and plans to expand wild margins for pollinators. New beginnings, before and after. A sequence of before and after shots presents tangible change. A once lean, anxious herd now stands glossy and calm. The barn, mended in hardship, stands stronger than ever. Pasture, once riddled with weeds, is a humming, verdant sea. Family photos on the wall, gaps slowly filled in, faces brightening year by year. Evelyn's own self-doubt, burdened in early chapters, has lightened. She now greets visitors with warmth and self-assurance, willing to share not just her wisdom, but her struggles and failures as fuel for their dreams. Community growth and wider impact. The Carter Homestead becomes a local hub. Tours are given to school groups, podcast interviews recorded in the kitchen, farm-to-table events hosted out in open fields. Young families, once fearful of attempting rural life, gain inspiration and practical advice. Micah helps a friend start her own poultry flock, sparking a new generation of rural innovation. Sarah's digital stories become a popular feature in 4-H circles, weaving old wisdom with new media. Neighbors note the difference. "You brought hope back to more than just this land," Henry says at a shared meal beneath string lights. Catharsis, the power of looking back. On a warm evening, the family gathers at the oak planted in Chapter 17. Under its widening shade, each shares words of gratitude, stories of struggle, and wishes for the seasons ahead. Evelyn admits to old doubts, then raises a glass. "Every loss, every bruise is part of this story. We've grieved, we've doubted. But together, family, friends, and land, we've built something that endures not just in muscle and memory, but in the spirit we've chosen to nurture year by year." Quiet music plays as children dance barefoot, parents sway, elders smile, and new friends find a place at the ever-growing table. Closing scene, the long view. As night falls, a drone pulls away from the gathering, showing the farm, all its scars, growth, and promise, bathed in twilight. Every fence, every animal, every hand-shaped object is a testament to work and hope. Evelyn's final reflection. Transformation isn't grand or sudden. It's the echo of every small choice, every kindness, every renewed effort to rise again after falling. This place, these people, they are proof that renewal is always possible. Chapter 20, The Homestead's Enduring Legacy. Opening scene, full circle. Morning breaks gently over the Carter homestead. The family assembles outdoors for a hearty breakfast, fresh eggs, homemade bread, sliced roast from their own herd. Steam curls from mugs as light warms the faces around the table. Children wriggle with anticipation, adults trade knowing looks, and Ruth leads a brief moment of gratitude. For seasons survived, for work well shared, and for a future sown with care. The camera lingers on Evelyn's smile, the hard edges worn softer by time, and on the tableau, generations joined in celebration of both the land and the passage of wisdom. The feast that binds. Neighbors filter in throughout the morning, bringing dishes to share. What began as a small family meal blooms into a community celebration. Everyone is invited. Field hands, the local vet, Henry and his grandkids, curious visitors seeking inspiration for their own rural dreams. Roasted beef, slow-cooked over smoldering coals, is the symbolic centerpiece. Plates are piled high. Conversations drift from weather and chores to plans for the coming year. A lively exchange of recipes, anecdotes, and garden seeds cements old bonds and forges new ones. Sarah and her friends add wildflowers to each table. Micah sets up a camera to record the day for future heritage days. Wisdom, remembered and shared. As the meal winds down, Evelyn stands to toast those present and absent. Remembering the hard years, the losses, learning, and grace that shaped the land and those who worked it. Celebrating the newcomers, their optimism, tenacity, and new energy. Honoring Ruth and all elders who kept knowledge alive in the face of change. The family reflects on lessons taught by the homestead: grit, adaptability, generosity, and the courage to begin again no matter the odds. Reflections on stewardship. After the feast, small groups tour the property. Evelyn shows off regenerated pasture, pointing out how the soil now teems with life. Ruth retells stories beneath the old oak, inviting laughter and tears in equal measure. Sarah guides children as they release ladybugs and butterflies in the garden, eager to continue their stewardship. Micah explains his latest improvements: solar power for water pumps, cover crops on field margins, plans for a shared community greenhouse. Evelyn's voiceover. Legacy isn't just what you inherit or what you leave behind. It's each decision, each fence mended, every promise kept, every table set for one more. Looking to the future. As afternoon shadows lengthen, the homestead hums with the energy of plans. Newcomers ask for mentorship, eager to learn and invest in their own rural dreams. Children plant seeds in marked beds, taking responsibility for the next season's gardens. The community schedules the first seed swap and skills workshop for the fall. Ruth, sitting with a grandchild on her lap, offers parting words. We do this not because it's easy, but because it matters. If the land is strong and the people are kind, every loss can become a lesson, every harvest a hope. Final montage, enduring roots. As the sun slips below the horizon, the camera pulls away. Pastures gleam gold, cattle graze peacefully. Laughter and music rise from the barn, a beacon in the twilight. The newly planted oak stands sentinel on the edge of the field, its roots anchoring all that came before and all that will grow after. Evelyn's closing reflection, full of quiet confidence. To homestead is to trust in tomorrow, to know that you are one steward in a long line, tasked not with perfection, but with care, humility, and the strength to hope. This legacy, written in earth and memory, is the story of us all.